أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم
To reciting the Tashahud, Tawuz and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih V, Ayyadahullahu Ta'ala bin Nasr al-Aziz, recited verse 93 of Surah Al-Imran and stated, the translation of the verse recited is, never shall you attain to righteousness unless you spend out of that which you love, and whatever you spend, Allah surely knows it well. Under the commentary of this verse, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I radiallahu ta'ala anhu has written that in Surah Al-Baqarah, where the first ruku begins in the Holy Quran, with regards to the righteous, it is mentioned that they spend out of whatever Allah has given them. This is mentioned in the first ruku. Furthermore, spending in the cause of Allah has greatly been emphasized on various occasions in this chapter. As such, you will never attain to true righteousness until you spend out of your wealth. He further says that according to me, the meaning of out of that which you love is wealth, because Allah the Almighty states in another place, and surely He is very keen for the love of wealth. Thus, in order to attain true righteousness, it is necessary to spend out of that which you hold there out of your wealth. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has also expounded upon this on various occasions. At one place, he writes, you should not be in love with wealth. For Allah the Almighty states that never shall you attain to righteousness unless you spend out of that which you love. And whatever you spend, Allah surely knows it well. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, further states, no one can claim to have performed a virtuous deed by spending out of something useless and worthless. The door to righteousness is narrow. Thus, bear in mind that no one can enter it by spending out of that which is worthless. The reason for this is that it has clearly been stated in the Holy Quran that until you spend out of your most dear and precious things, you will not be able to attain the status of being beloved in the sight of God and honored. He further writes, if you do not wish to face difficulties and attain true righteousness, how then can you succeed and prosper? Hence, there are those who at times make a good earning, but in terms of their financial sacrifices, they are not on the same level as those Ahmadis who earn an average income. And so, such people should remember that Allah the Almighty states that the true sacrifice is to spend in His cause out of that which you most love. Only then will you be able to gain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and become the recipients of His blessings. Allah the Almighty has not only mentioned spending in the cause of Allah once or twice, but has done so on multiple occasions throughout the Holy Quran. For example, at one place, Allah the Almighty states in the Holy Quran, "And spend for the cause of Allah, and cast not yourselves into ruin with your own hands, and do good. Surely Allah loves those who do good." Thus, at times not spending in the way of Allah leads to ruin. On the one hand, there is the claim that we have accepted the Imam of the age, and that we are those who fulfill the prophecy of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and that in accordance with his prophecy, we have entered the community of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. On the other hand, at times there is reluctance in making financial sacrifices, and this is not right. Generally speaking, the community pays great attention to this matter, but among some people, especially those whom Allah the Exalted has granted great financial capacity, this attitude sometimes develops. It is by the grace of Allah the Almighty that the majority of the community participates in financial sacrifices with great happiness. But as I mentioned, there are some in whom this reluctance is found. Such people should keep in mind this injunction of Allah the Almighty, that spending wealth in the way of Allah is extremely important. Indeed, among those who earn more, there are some who take part in various Jamaat schemes and do so generously. However, I would like to also mention in reference to this, that some of them do not pay the obligatory chanda, such as the Hissa Ahmad, a prescribed contribution based on income, at the correct rate, and nor do they do so regularly. Therefore, such people ought to assess themselves. Then Allah the Almighty states elsewhere in the Holy Quran, that is, "O people, believe in Allah and His Messenger, and spend in the way of Allah out of that to which He has made you heirs. And those of you who believe and spend will have a great reward." Thus, Allah the Almighty has promised a great reward for those who spend in His way. Likewise, Allah the Almighty states, "And why is it that you spend not in the way of Allah, while to Allah belongs the heritage of the heavens and the earth?" That is, whatever a person holds in his hands from this material world, in the end he will leave it behind and die, and it will come into the possession of Allah alone. Nothing remains in a person's possession. Even inheritance gets distributed, and if the heirs are not righteous, then they squander it. And in the end, nothing remains in his hands, neither in this world nor in the hereafter. Therefore, one should fear Allah and spend for His sake. Then Allah the Almighty places blessings in it and also safeguards future generations. Elsewhere, in the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty states, "So fear Allah as best you can, and listen and obey, and spend in His cause. It will be good for yourselves. And whoso is rid of the covetousness of his own soul, it is such who shall be successful." Thus, Allah the Almighty has declared that miserliness and stinginess are not right. If one wishes to become a recipient of the favors of Allah, then one must spend in His way. In the same manner, there are countless other verses in the Holy Quran that urge us to spend from our wealth in the way of Allah the Almighty. And in this age, as the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has repeatedly stated, that wealth is required for the propagation of religion and for expanding religious works and for the propagation of Islam. And it is from this wealth that you should spend. It It should also be remembered that those who spend their wealth for the sake of the religion, as I've explained through the verses of the Holy Quran, that they do not benefit only themselves, rather the entire nation benefits. Therefore, our compassion for the nation and our compassion for humanity necessitates that we spend in the way of Allah. Spending that helps people and also serves the propagation of Islam. The hadiths also contain many instances in which the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, exhorted people to make financial sacrifices. For example, it is narrated from Hazrat Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and this is a hadith Qudsi, and that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated, conveying the words of Allah, that, O son of Adam, deposit your treasure with me and be content, for there will be no fear of it being burned by fire, nor of it being drowned in water, nor of it being stolen by a thief. The treasure that is kept with me, I shall return to you in full on the day when you will need it the most. Thus, this is the promise of Allah the Almighty, that if you spend in the way of Allah, then Allah will return the wealth in full. Then Allah the Almighty also states in the Holy Quran, that is, and whatever wealth you spend, it shall be paid back to you in full, and you shall not be wrong. Elsewhere it is also stated that it will be returned many times over. These then are the ways in which Allah the Almighty gives to those who spend in His way. We are fortunate today, as I have mentioned earlier, that the majority of Ahmadis have understood this reality. They spend abundantly in the way of Allah. There were similar examples of such spending, even in the time of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. In fact, upon witnessing this, he once remarked that he was astonished at how people who were poor were making such great sacrifices for the sake of religion. And the same condition exists today. Generally, a large number of Ahmadis understand very well that they must spend in the way of Allah the Almighty. They are well aware of this reality. And I have observed that many among the poor, or those from the middle income group, make very great sacrifices. This is because they have the understanding that Allah the Almighty will return this wealth to them, or that they will become the recipients of the blessings of Allah the Almighty. How this will happen, only Allah knows best, but they will be granted in this world and in the next. The truth of the matter is that in the hereafter, Allah the Almighty will return it in the form of reward and will include it in their recompense. And these sacrifices will become a means for the elevation of their ranks. Then in another hadith, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that whoever gives even a single date in the way of Allah from pure earnings, and Allah accepts only that which is pure, Allah accepts the date with his right hand and continues to increase it until it becomes like a mountain. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, gave the example that just as one of you nurtures a small calf until it grows into a large animal, in the same way, your wealth continues to grow if you give it in the way of Allah the Almighty. However, the condition is that the wealth must be pure. It should not be the case that it was earned through wrongful means, or that savings were accumulated through unlawful methods, and then it was given as jannah. No, rather, only when the wealth is pure does Allah the Almighty accept it. Then it is mentioned in a hadith that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, on the day of judgment, until the judgment is completed, those who spend in the way of Allah will remain under the shade of the wealth they spent. Thus, even on the day of judgment, financial sacrifices, provided they are offered with good intentions and are from pure wealth, they become a means of attracting and drawing the grace of Allah the Almighty. As I have said earlier, the members of the Jamaat understand this matter because Allah the Almighty has stated that the financial sacrifice of those who tread on the path of taqwa, i.e. righteousness, are accepted, and thereafter Allah the Almighty abundantly bestows them. Most members of the Jamaat try to act upon this. Allah the Almighty states at one place in the Holy Quran, the translation is, and he who fears Allah, he will make for him a way out, and will provide for him from where he expects not. And he who puts his trust in Allah, he is sufficient for him. Verily, Allah will accomplish his purpose, for everything has Allah appointed a measure. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states that we should always remember as to how far we have progressed in righteousness and purity, and the yardstick for this is the Holy Quran. Allah the Almighty has also given one sign among the signs of a righteous person, that Allah the Almighty frees the righteous one from the disliked matters of the world, and himself becomes the guarantor of his affairs. Just as Allah the Almighty states, that whoever fears Allah the Almighty, Allah the Almighty creates for him a way out from every hardship. The one who sacrifices for the sake of Allah the Almighty can only be those who fear Allah the Almighty, and who make sacrifices for his sake alone. And when they do so, then they are no longer worried about how their needs will be fulfilled, or how their expenses will be covered. Allah the Almighty continues to create a means for them. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states that Allah the Almighty creates for him a way out from every hardship, and creates for them such provisions that they cannot even comprehend. Then in another place, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states that Allah the Almighty protects those who sacrifice for his sake, and those who walk upon righteousness from calamities. He continues, those for whom Allah the Almighty becomes a guardian are saved from the pains of the world, they are saved from difficulties and hardships, and enter into a life of true comfort and tranquility. For them is the promise of Allah the Almighty, that is, whoever adopts righteousness, Allah the Almighty, through His grace, delivers him from every calamity and suffering. Allah the Almighty himself becomes responsible for his provision and provides for him in ways that he cannot even comprehend. Similarly, in one place, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, stated that those who place their trust in and incline towards God Almighty never go to waste. He continues that God Almighty is the real provider, and the person who places trust in him can never remain deprived of providence. He, i.e. Allah the Almighty, provides provision in every manner and from every place for the person who places his trust in him. God Almighty states that the one who relies on me and puts his trust upon me, I cause provisions to rain upon him from the heavens and bring it forth from beneath his feet. Thus, every person should place their trust in God Almighty. Similarly, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has stated many pieces of advice at various places, and has also explained the commentary of this verse. It is the special grace of Allah the Almighty that the members of the Jamaat understand this matter. They are those who offer sacrifices for the Jamaat, and they are also those who witness the manifestations of Allah the Almighty's grace. We find countless examples every year from around the world. Since at this time I am speaking in relation to Waqf-e Jadeed, therefore I will present some examples of those people who gave contributions for Waqf-e Jadeed and whom Allah the Almighty blessed, or those who had such certainty and faith in Allah the Almighty that if they offered sacrifices, that Allah the Almighty would fulfill their needs. As I have also stated earlier, that the spirit of sacrifice is very strong among those people who are of average or low income, and it is their examples that are usually presented before us. There is a local Jamaat in Indonesia called Panggir, There is a lady there, Tahira Sahiba. She says that I was a part-time teacher and my salary was very low. At the end of the financial year of Waqf-e Jadid, I received a message from the National Secretary Sahib that my pledge of 130,000 rupees was still outstanding. I had only that much money with me, which I had set aside to start a small business. She had the amount equal to that with her, but she had kept it for herself. She says that owing to a desire in my heart, I placed my full trust in Allah and I gave the entire amount that I had in Waqf-e Jadid. Thereafter, Allah the Almighty thus blessed me that I unexpectedly received a bonus from the school, which I was in dire need of. And along with this, I also received the good news that my name had been included among those receiving government subsidies. She says that I wasn't even able to properly offer thanks to Allah the Almighty yet for this work of mine that was immediately completed. That during that same time, my teacher registration number was also issued, for which I had been waiting for years. She further says that I am convinced that this is the grace of Allah the Almighty that occurred due to the significance of my chanda. In Kenya, which is a country in Eastern Africa, now there are thousands of miles between Indonesia and Kenya, but the mentality and attitude of members by God Almighty's grace is one and the same everywhere. Listen to how God Almighty blesses them as well. The Amir Jamaat of Kenya has written that a local muallim details the story of a woman who regularly makes financial contributions, despite the fact that she does not have any real regular income. And in such difficult circumstances, there is a great need for money and a great love for it. And so to spend out of one's wealth in such a state is the equivalent of carving out one's own heart or cutting one's liver, just as the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has detailed. In any case, he writes that the woman had set her pledge for Waqf-e Jadid at 400 shillings for the year, which she paid in full, and said that this is all the money she had. She explained that she is going back with nothing else to her name. But look how Allah the Almighty responded and treated her. Just as Allah the Almighty says that I grant provisions from sources where you cannot even imagine. And so God Almighty did not leave her empty-handed. When she mentioned that she no longer has anything to her name, God Almighty declared that I shall not leave you with nothing. A few days later, she received an amount totaling 1400 shillings from her daughter, with a note that she wanted her mother to use the amount to fulfill her pledged contribution and to spend the rest on her personal needs. After this, her son-in-law called. It is a custom that the dowry money is made over to the parents of the girl after marriage. Thus, he sent her two cows, which were valued at 90,000 shillings. And that was not all. She says that I had only contributed 400 shillings. But God Almighty blessed me in return in extraordinary and amazing ways. He blessed me from places that I had no expectation to receive anything from. Then, in the most unexpected way, she started receiving cash amounts and gifts, various other items of need from her children and family members. She expressed gratitude to Allah the Almighty and explained that this transformed her faith into conviction that this was the result of the blessings of financial contributions. Such sacrifices in God's way not only garner blessings of God Almighty, but also increase the faith of those who witness this. Guinea-Conakry is another country in Africa. The missionary there writes that a woman in a village in the Kundia region pledged 150,000 Guinea francs. And while this may sound like a very large amount, but the currency there has very little value. So in fact, this is a very small amount. In any case, he writes that at the end of the year, our local missionary went to her village to collect financial contributions from people. When he arrived there, she had gone out to the market to sell some vegetables. Since time was short, the local missionary went to meet her in the marketplace. The local missionary reminded her of the pledge she had made that remained to be paid. The woman said, with great pain in her voice, that she does not have anything to fulfill her pledge with at this time. The woman told the local missionary to go on his way for now, and that she would certainly fulfill her pledge. Now look at how this woman, who has joined Islam and has become an Ahmadi, how her faith has progressed. She did not try to evade her duty by telling the person to be on his way, by saying that she doesn't have anything. Rather, she said that I don't have anything at this moment, but I will, as soon as possible, arrange for something and give the amount to you. In any case, our local missionary went on to collect in the next town. And once he was done there, he returned to his town and returned to the woman. She presented him with 100,000 francs and explained that this is my entire day's earnings which I am spending in the way of Allah the Almighty. She explained that no special food had been made in the home for several days, and for the last many days the children had been eating very simple food. And she had intended that whatever money she made today, she would try to give her children something special to eat. But she said to the Muallim, just as you have also explained, and I have also experienced, that wealth spent out of that which one loves never goes to waste. God Almighty provides for His servants out of that which they cannot even imagine. And this is exactly what I have also borne in mind. And my sacrifice will certainly not go in vain. And that is why I am giving this all to you today. The local missionary recounts that he was still standing there when the woman received a phone call. It was her son saying that I have some things that I need to make over to you. Please, can you meet me at such and such place and get it from me? The woman went to meet her son, and he gave her 500,000 guinea francs, saying that he is giving this to her for her household expenditures. The woman came back jubilant and had only begun explaining what had happened when her phone rang again. This time, the call was from her other son, who lives in another town, but he was nearby, and he explained that he could not come to her because he was only passing through. And so he asked her to come to him, saying that he had a gift for her. When she went to him, he also gave 300,000 francs to his mother, saying that this is for your household expenses. She came back and started to explain that this is not just a grace of God Almighty that I have witnessed, but it is also a means of uplifting my faith and fortifying my conviction that indeed God Almighty has blessed me for spending in the way of His community. This has demonstrated to me that this community is true. Thus, in this way, Allah the Almighty Himself strengthens people's faith. And she said that the sacrifices that we are making in the way of God are certainly finding acceptance by Him. She says that I spent 100,000 in God's way, but He multiplied it many times over for me and returned it. Then, there is an account of a sincere member named Ali Beg Sahib, in a village called Uktao, situated in Kazakhstan. He is very regular in making financial contributions and makes sure that he pays every month on time. For some time, due to difficult circumstances, he was not able to make financial contributions. This continued until the financial year of obligatory contributions and Waqf-e Jadeed had come to an end, and he had still not been able to make any payments. He was extremely worried, and one day after Friday prayers, himself began explaining that some large debts have occurred, which have caused the banks to close his accounts, and that's why he cannot make any financial contributions. He says, I was just praying that God Almighty causes His grace to descend upon me. He says that one day, one of the senior members in the company which I work for gave me a handsome bonus, which we were waiting for a year, which did not seem like it would actually materialize. By the grace of God, with this bonus, he was able to pay off his debts and fulfill his pledges for financial contributions. He says, and he has full conviction that this has all transpired so that he could fulfill the pledge that he had made. Another incident detailing how Allah the Almighty does not keep a loan for himself, but rather blesses a person in unexpected ways, comes from Australia, where the Amir Jamaat has shared an account. Now there are many accounts from different countries, but they are all very similar. He writes that there is a member from the Gold Coast who had already fulfilled his pledge of $1,000. Amir Sahib writes that I brought his attention towards the importance of this matter and requested him to increase his contribution. Generally, not only those who are very affluent, but even those who are slightly affluent as well, do not make sacrifices the way they should. But then there are some people who do, like this individual. Now, although they do not have the same standard of sacrifice that the poorer members possess, but they do end up making good sacrifices. In any case, I am narrating the example from amongst those people who are living in relatively better conditions and who do make sacrifices for the sake of the Jamaat. This person had made a pledge of $1,000 and already fulfilled that pledge, but when he was asked to increase the amount, he contributed another $6,000 in addition to the $1,000 from before, totaling $7,000 as his contribution. The very next day, he called to inform that his wife received a phone call from an insurance company telling her about a claim that had been in process for some time, which they were not even aware of, and that they were going to receive an amount of $12,000. The man explains that I had made a contribution of $6,000, and within 2 days, Allah the Almighty had doubled it and returned it to me. And Allah the Almighty granted it to me from a place that I had absolutely no expectation for. Then the missionary of Guinea-Bissau relates an incident describing a manifestation of Allah the Almighty's help that came unexpectedly. He writes that a sincere Ahmadi, Abu Sania Sahib, was living abroad. He had not been able to find suitable employment for a long period of time, and as a result of which he was under great financial pressure. One can well imagine the condition of a person living away from home, without employment and under financial strain. And at such a time, if any wealth comes into one's hand, it will become dearest to him and he would spend it upon himself. Yet observe the state of these sincere individuals. He states that during this very period, a Chanda appeal was launched by the Jamaat. Responding to this appeal, Abu Sania offered a sacrifice in the way of Allah the Almighty and gave whatever he had. Although he did not possess any significant amount at that time, and whatever he did have was most dear to him, nevertheless, he gave it in the way of Allah the Almighty. In any case, Allah the Almighty accepted his sacrifice soon after. He says that hardly a week had passed since the payment of Chanda when he received a telephone call from a company informing him that he was being employed without any interview. He had already submitted an application, but they said that there was no need for an interview and that he should come and start work. Abu Sania Sahib relates that this was the blessing of the sacrifice made in the way of Allah the Almighty and a practical fulfillment of his promise of help, in that Allah the Almighty grants back manifold, and that he bestowed it in such an unexpected manner as he had not even anticipated it. The missionary in charge of Russia writes that Ikram Jan Sahib is a sincere member. He says that last month he sent his chanda and expressed in a very heartfelt manner that for the past 2 months he had not been able to pay his chanda and had been greatly distressed at being deprived of the opportunity to make a sacrifice in the way of Allah the Almighty. Now observe that these are new Ahmadis living in remote areas, yet how deep is their yearning to offer financial sacrifices, for they are convinced that it is through these sacrifices that the blessings of Allah the Almighty descend upon them. He says, I was praying a great deal. People pray for their businesses, but if he had any concern regarding wealth, it was solely for the purpose of paying his chanda. He further relates that I prayed profusely that Allah the Almighty may help me so that I do not remain deprived of this blessed opportunity and am not denied the chance to make a sacrifice in the way of Allah the Almighty. One day, whilst on the way to the office, he again prayed earnestly before God that he might receive his salary soon. Circumstances there are such that at times salaries are often delayed. In any case, he prayed so that he can pay his chanda. He says that when he reached the office, unexpectedly, he received his salary on that very day. He immediately paid his chanda and expressed gratitude to Allah the Almighty. He had not been deprived of the opportunity to make a sacrifice. From India, the inspector of Waqf-e Jadid writes that in one Jamaat there is an individual whom they visited, and he had an outstanding amount of 16,000 rupees for his Waqf-e Jadid chanda. He had to pay an essential installment for a particular matter, for which he had set this amount aside. Upon our arrival, he said that the installment that I am required to pay will be managed. I will pay it later. But since my chanda is outstanding and you have come to me, therefore I will first pay you the outstanding chanda. The inspector says that we told him that he was in difficult circumstances and that at this time he should pay half and the remainder later. He replied, that one must first pay what is due for Allah the Almighty. As for the remaining matters, Allah the Almighty will, inshallah, make better arrangements. If I act with righteousness and place my trust in Allah the Almighty, then Allah the Almighty will create better means. Later, he informed them by telephone that a sum of money which had been withheld for quite some time and from which he had not expected to receive so soon, had suddenly been released. Thus, Allah the Almighty, through the blessings of Jannah, fulfilled all his needs, and he said that my faith was also strengthened, and I witnessed how Allah the Almighty treats those who make sacrifices. Guadeloupe is a country in South America. There is a young new convert there named Germinadan. He is 28 years old and still a student. Alongside his studies, he also does part-time work. It is a poor country, and he was informed of the importance and blessings of Waqf-e Jadeed. Generally, it is said that in order to cultivate the habit of Chanda among new converts, they should be included in Waqf-e Jadeed and Tariq-e Jadeed schemes and to be encouraged in this regard. Accordingly, when he was informed, he said that I have the desire to participate in this, but at present I have absolutely no money, nor do I know how I will get through the month. In such condition, to harbour a desire when there is nothing in one's hand, when one does not even know how the month will pass, it is indeed very difficult. In such circumstances, when a person does receive some money, usually one would first spend it upon themselves. But after accepting Ahmadiyya, the conduct of these people becomes remarkable. The missionary said to him that you are a student. There is no need for a very large sacrifice. You may give even 1 or 2 euros according to your capacity. And Allah the Almighty grants reward according to one's intentions. In any case, he states that after 1 week, he came to the mission house and paid 160 euros as Waqf-e Jadeed Chanda. And he said, the very week in which I resolved to make the sacrifice of Waqf-e Jadeed, Allah the Almighty placed blessings in my circumstances. The place where I was working part-time gave me my salary before it was due, and even gave me more than usual, and without any apparent reason. And I myself could not understand why they gave me more. He further relates that after a few days, he again informed them of another extraordinary occurrence. He said that on the day I paid 160 euros, I wanted to give more, but I did not have the means. However, only a few days after paying the chanda, I unexpectedly received a fairly substantial amount. I was owed some money from a training center, which despite repeated requests, I had not been able to obtain. Yet, Allah the Almighty, through the blessings of chanda, enabled me to receive that amount as well. Accordingly, he paid a further 150 euros towards Waqf-e Jadeed. On the one hand, he was in a state whereby he was struggling to even find food for himself, and on the other hand, he was able to give 300 euros as chanda. Similarly, there are many other such incidents. Some people received amounts in an extraordinary way. From the Jamaat of Kyrgyzstan, Yulia Gurnova Sahiba states, at the place where I work, I asked whether an increase in my salary was possible. They informed me that it was only possible in the form of a bonus, and it was not known how much the bonus would be. She further says, in any case, as soon as I received a portion of my salary in the month of October, the first thing I did was to pay my Waqf-e Jadeed chanda, even though we had many personal expenses. This itself is a sign of the promise of Allah the Almighty. Indeed, this is the essence of sacrifice and a sign of Allah's promise, that is to spend in the way of Allah out of that which one holds dear. She says, at that time this amount was dear to me because I needed it and had many expenses. Yet for me it was essential first to fulfill the pledge I had made to the Jamaat. At the very end of that same month, she was informed that her salary had been increased by 40% and that in addition she could also receive an extra bonus based on the quality of her work. She says, I was greatly astonished, so I had absolutely no expectation that my salary could be increased to such an extent. Just a day earlier, whilst calculating my expenses, I had realized that an additional amount roughly equal to this was necessary, and I had already paid my Waqf-e Jadeed chanda, but the shortfall in those expenses was made up through this increase. She further states that I am most grateful to Allah the Almighty, and I firmly believe that this extraordinary and unexpected favor granted by Allah the Almighty was due to the blessings of chanda. She further states, I will mention another matter as well, that I had another business which I had been running for some time, but there was no progress in it. However, this year in November, when I fulfilled my pledge, after fulfilling that pledge in December, the profit of that business has now doubled.
لیکن اس سال نومبر میں کہتی ہیں اپنا وعدہ ادا کیا تو وعدہ پورا کرنے کے بعد.
Similarly, from Mendong Jamaat in Indonesia, there is a member, Rama Sahiba. She's a freelance writer associated with Indonesia's national media and is a well-educated lady. She states that through this work she meets her personal needs. And this year, due to the rejection of some of her articles and the poor sales of her books, she was unable to fulfill her pledge for Waqf-e Jadid. As a result, she was deeply concerned and anxious. Placing her trust in Allah, she paid part of the outstanding amount from her personal savings and prayed that, "Oh Allah, everything belongs to you. Remove from my heart this anxiety as to how my expenses will be met." She relates that she had not even folded her prayer mat after offering the prayer when she received a phone call from a friend who urgently required her assistance with a translation. Upon completion of the task, that friend gave her an envelope containing an amount exactly equal to what she needed to fulfill her pledge for Waqf-e Jadid. And so, she immediately paid that amount towards Waqf-e Jadid. Thereafter, Allah the Almighty bestowed His grace in such a manner that she received a message from her editor informing her that her book had been accepted at an international level. And instead of the previous 10%, she would now receive a royalty of 30%. Furthermore, through the blessings of her sacrifice, Allah the Almighty also paved the way for her son's admission to a medical college, something which had appeared impossible. She states that it is a personal experience that ever since she began setting aside contributions first from her income, Allah the Almighty Himself continues to resolve all her worldly affairs. This is a promise of Allah the Almighty, and this is how Allah the Almighty fulfills it. I will leave out some of the accounts and will now present some details from this year's Waqf-e Jadid reports that have been received from the various jamaats with regards to their collection. Although the reports are not complete, especially in view of the present circumstances, particularly in Africa, where full reports cannot be received, nevertheless, whatever reports have been received will be presented. This is the 69th year of the Waqf-e Jadid scheme, and the 68th year has just concluded, and the new Waqf-e Jadid year has now commenced. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, members have made a total sacrifice of approximately £15 million. This is an increase of £1.3 million as compared to last year. All praise belongs to Allah. UK and Canada have come first and second, though UK has attained first position in terms of its overall contribution. However, Canada has made a huge effort and have come very close to UK this year in second position. Number three is Germany, followed by USA, India, Australia, a Jamaat from the Middle East, then Indonesia, then another Jamaat from the Middle East, and then in 10th position is Belgium. The top 10 countries in Africa in terms of their overall contribution are as follows. Number 1 is Ghana, Mauritius, Burkina Faso, Tanzania, Nigeria, Liberia, Gambia, Sierra Leone, Benin, and then Mali. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, the total number of participants is 1.5 million. Those countries who have made a notable effort is Nigeria, Niger, Gambia, Guinea-Bissau, Congo-Brazzaville, Ivory Coast, Central Africa, Congo-Kinshasa. These jamaats have made a significant effort to increase participants. In terms of overall contribution, the top 10 large jamaats of UK are as follows: Islamabad, Worcester Park, Ash, Walsall, Aldershot South, Farnham North, Borden, Farnham South, Gillingham, and Aldershot North. The top five regions of UK are as follows: Islamabad number 1, followed by Bait al-Fatuh, Fazl Mosque, Bait al-Ihsan, and then West Midlands. The Daftar Atfal has its separate records for Waqf-e Jadid collection, and the positions are as follows: Aldershot South, then Aldershot North, followed by Borden, Ash, Sheem South, Farnham South, Islamabad, Roehampton Vale, Mitcham Park, and Walsall. In second position was Canada in the overall position, and their top Jamaats are as follows: Vaughan is number 1, followed by Peace Village, Calgary, Brampton West, Vancouver, Toronto West, Mississauga, Brampton East, and Toronto. The top 10 large Jamaats of Canada are as follows: Hamilton, then followed by Edmonton West, Hadika Ahmed, Hamilton Mountain, Ottawa West, Regina, Airdrie, Innisfil, Vaudreuil, and Sudbury. Then in relation to the collection from Atfal, their positions are as follows: Vaughan, Toronto West, Peace Village, Calgary, Brampton West, Brampton East, Vancouver, Mississauga, and then Toronto. In terms of the top Jamaats for collection from Atfal, the positions are as follows: Hadika Ahmed, London South. They also have an area called London, followed by Hamilton, Innisfil, Montreal East, Bait al-Ihsan, Saskatoon Southwest, Durham East, Woodstock, Abbotsford, and Burlington. Then the top five local Emirates of Germany are as follows: number 1 is Hamburg, followed by Frankfurt, Wiesbaden, Rudolstadt, and Grossgrau. The top Jamaats are as follows: Rodgau, Nidda, Nuweid, Rodemark, Weingarten, Florisheim, Berlin, Koblenz, Mehdiabad, and Pinneberg. The top five regions in Atfal are as follows: Wiesbaden, number 1, followed by Hamburg, Hessen Southeast, Mannheim, and Westfalen. The top 10 Jamaats of USA are as follows: North Virginia, Maryland, Los Angeles, Chicago, Seattle, Silicon Valley, Dallas, Detroit, South Virginia, and then Georgia, Carolina. The position for the collection from Atfal, the positions are as follows: Maryland, number 1, followed by Albany, Los Angeles, North Virginia, Seattle, Chicago, Georgia, Carolina, Dallas, Oshkosh, and Houston. With regards to the positions of Pakistan, although they have attained 5th position in terms of the overall positions, but because the value of the currency has dropped, but despite their challenging circumstances there, their standard of sacrifice has greatly increased by the grace of Allah the Almighty. The top Jamaats in Pakistan are as follows: is Lahore number 1, followed by Rabwa, then Karachi. The position in terms of the districts for the collection of adults is as follows: Islamabad number 1, followed by Faisalabad, Rawalpindi, Gujarat, Sargodha, Umarkot, Multan, Narowal, Mirpur Khas, and then Dera Ghazi Khan. The top 10 Jamaats are as follows: Islamabad City, Township Lahore, Defense Lahore, Darul Zikr Lahore, Samnabad Lahore, Allama Iqbal Town Lahore, Bait al-Fazl Faisalabad, Mughalpura Lahore, Multan City, Delhi Gate Lahore. The top position for the Jamaats in Pakistan for the collection from Atfal is as follows. Number one is Lahore, followed by Rabwa, and then Karachi. And the position of the districts for the Atfal is as follows. Islamabad number one, followed by Faisalabad, Narowal, Rawalpindi, Umarkot, Sargodha, Gujarat, Mirpur Khas, Leya, and then Toba Tek Singh. For the positions in India, the top 10 provinces are as follows. Kerala, Tamil Nadu, Jammu Kashmir, Telangana, Karnataka, Odisha, Punjab, West Bengal, Maharashtra, and then Uttar Pradesh. And the top 10 Jamaats of India are as follows. Coimbatore, Hyderabad, Qadian, Calicut, Melapalayalam, Bangalore, Manjeri, Kolkata, Kerang, and then Kerala. The position of the Jamaats in Australia are as follows. Melbourne, Long Warren, then Marsden Park, Castle Hill, Melbourne, Berwick, Melbourne, Clyde, Penrith, Perth, Melbourne West, Logan East, and then Melbourne East. And the position of the top 10 Jamaats of Australia are as follows. Melbourne, Long Warren, Marsden Park, Castle Hill, Melbourne, Berwick, Melbourne, Clyde, Penrith, Melbourne East, Perth, Melbourne West, Adelaide West. And the position of the Jamaats for the collection from Atfal is as follows. Logan East, followed by Melbourne, Long Warren, Adelaide South, Melbourne West, Logan West, Melbourne Berwick, Castle Hill, Perth, Plumpton, and then at number 10, Penrith. May Allah the Almighty bestow His innumerable blessings upon all those who have rendered sacrifices and also in their wealth. The reason I have read out all the names of the Jamaats is because the Jamaats want to know their positions. Therefore, it is a tradition to read out all the positions of the Jamaat. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, I truly believe that miserliness and faith cannot coexist in the same heart. A person who wholeheartedly believes in God Almighty does not consider their wealth to be confined to what is locked in their money chest, but rather considers all of God Almighty's treasures as their own. Miserliness departs from them, meaning stinginess departs from him, just as darkness is dispelled by light. Thus, it is the grace of Allah the Almighty, and we have experienced this for ourselves, in that how Allah the Almighty continues to bestow His grace upon people. This is because they know that all the treasures belong to Allah the Almighty alone. It is also mentioned in a hadith that to God Almighty belong all treasures, and He shall grant them in the hereafter, but He also grants them in this life as well. Allah the Almighty has mentioned this in the Holy Quran as well, and one is left astounded as to how God Almighty continues to bestow His blessings, and people are experiencing this for themselves, just as I related some accounts earlier. May Allah the Almighty enable us that whilst we strive to continue to offer financial sacrifices, may He also increase our faith and conviction.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Nahmadu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. مَن يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَن يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وَنَشْهَدُ أَن لَّا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.